There's a special schar with any time a person does things that are a little bit of mesiras nefesh. I once heard from Rav Yaakov Hillel. He said that if Chazal would see the way our Tanesim are today, how we are, how little we are involved in Torah Vavoida, then they would have been mevatel all the Tanesim. But when people come to hear Divrei Torah, and they try to concentrate, so it's in our door, it's nechshav many, many times over, more than in any other generation. Every nekuda that we try to use our koichus in this dar, it definitely brings nachas ruach befrat in his man of ratzon, tremendous ratzon of aser simei tshuva. A lot of the Bakrim said that they found it was helpful that we went over the Yud Gimel Midas, Rachamim, and I thought we would do this in a similar venue this time. That is that we've been saying these Yud Gimel Midas, right? We either get up early in the morning or we stay up late in shul and we're saying these Yud Gimel Midas Shel Rachamim. It's not really clear what they are, what we're doing. We're saying them over and over. And when we daven Shmona Esrei, we really relate to what we're doing. Because if we understand the words, if we read the translation of the words, we understand what the words were saying, so then we can relate. It's all things that we have what to do with. However, when it comes to the Yud Gimel Midas, it's almost like we're shooting them out like missiles. We're sending them out one after another, and then by Ne'ilah, we have these little slichas, and then we send out another Yud Gimel Midas, then a little slichas, and then it's to me, my image that I have in my head when I'm doing it is sending out missiles. I don't know, you can have your own image. I'm not trying to be morid your mind to mine, but that's what I see. And if we would try to understand a little bit what's going on, it would enhance it a lot more, and it probably, most definitely, would actually make it more effective. Right? Like anyone, when you're sending something up to Shemayim, if you know what you're doing, if you know how to use all the machinery, and you understand what it's about, so then most certainly it will bring bigger ratzon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Levush, who was a Talmud Muvok of the Ramah, already starts with the fascinating thing that the Slichas start with Ashrei, and then you have various Psukim, and then you have the Slichas and Yud Gimel Midas Shel Rachamim, and then you have Tachna. Very much similar to what? The Shmon Esrei that we have every day, right? It's like a mincha, almost. An Ashrei, Yud Gimel Midas in the middle, and Tachna. And he says the Yud Gimel Midas are like the Shmon Esrei. There's something going on here, something very pnimi, that's comparable to Shmona Esrei Mamish, these Yud Gimel Midas. The truth is that we've never had anything like the Yud Gimel Midas Shel Rachamim. They are unparalleled, unprecedented in all the things that we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. They come in a very, very frightful way. Perhaps this is why we scream Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. If you ever wonder why we scream that, it's because something absolutely frightening happened then. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. Amar Rabbi Yochanan il malei mikra kasev iefsher la'omrei. If the Torah did not tell us this, we could not say this. What we're about to say right now is something that has to be understood properly. If a person doesn't understand what we're about to say, they could actually run into apikorsis. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot have a physical guf. According to the Rambam, that's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, that a person has to believe that Hashem doesn't have a guf. But Hashem chose to show us an image. An image. What is that image? Definitely not the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, but an image. Malamid shenis atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. Hashem put on a talis like a shliach tzibur. Veheralo leMoshe Seder Tfila, and he showed Moshe exactly what to say. Amar loy kol zman sheYisrael chaytin, any time where Klal Yisrael is chayte, are doing averus, ya'asu lefonai kiseder zeh, say this formula. Very interesting. Normally the word that's used is mispalel, davin. Here it's ya'asu, because we're actually doing something. We're saying a formula. Vani mochalehem. And I'll be mochel them. Over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a formula. He gives us a formula for rachmim. And the idea of a talis, Rabbeinu Bechai, in Bamidbar, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Lamed Ches, says the word talis, which is an Aramaic word, but the word talis means to lift up. And he says, Dafka, there's an idea to wear a white talis because we're lifting into a higher place of purity, of lavan, of whiteness. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us how to do it. You wear a suit, you put on that special suit, which is the talis lavan, which in itself is something that brings us up. And then you say this formula. So we have to do something very deep here to understand this. We're going to go back to the beginning of time. It's the only way to understand this. This is the deepest thing that we have. The Yud Gimel Midos, we have no choice. We have to go to the very beginning. And that is, in the very beginning, something happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, and he decided he wanted to create it with din, with just judgment. Now, why did he want to do that? Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, loves us. So why would he want to create the world in din? Din is very, very impossible. You can't live with din, as we're going to see in a second. Right? Why did Hashem want to do that? Hashem wanted to do that for the very simple reason that Hashem wanted us to feel like we earn our Olam Haba. Right? If you get handouts, so then you don't really earn anything in life. Hashem wanted it to be that after 120 years, when we get there, after 120, Hashem wants us to feel like we did it. We did it, not him. And even though he helps us, Adin Shir, and it's a joke that we get credit for anything. However, the plan was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have us there, and then we would make it through Olam Hazeh, 120 years, and we would totally justify every moment of our existence, not only justify it, but get reward for every moment that we brought Kavod Shamayim to the world. That was the plan. In order to remove us from what's called the Mekubalim, primarily the Ramchal and many Svarim, the Nahama de Kisufa, bread of embarrassment. The people want to earn a living. It's part of the teva of a neshama too, not to get a free ride, and to earn its way. So in theory, the best situation is pure din. And that's the way Hashem wanted the world to start off. However, Ra'a She'enu Niskayim. Hashem saw that that's an impossibility, right? Imagine the first day, a person has an urge to say Lashon Hara, they speak Lashon Hara, their tongue falls out. That the Tomer Devorah, the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero from Sfat, over 550 years ago, says that if we were living in pure din, every time a person would try to take a swing at somebody, their arm would fall off. Why? That's pure judgment. Wait, I gave you an arm for Kavod Shamayim. Now you're not using it, then poof, it's gone. Right? And as soon as somebody had an inappropriate thought, poof, their brain would disappear. Right? As soon as they had an inappropriate emotion, poof, their heart would disappear. So therefore, even though that would have been the ideal, Hashem had to make a new version of din. And I was makabel from my Reveim, a very important nusach here. Hashem added something called rachmim, but he did not make the world leave din. This is what we call Mahadura Basra. Mahadura Basra is version 2 of din. What does that mean? It means like this. There are laws of cause and effect in the world of judgment. In rachmim 2, there are laws of cause and effect. They're just more livable. They're more livable. For example, let's say somebody stubs their toe, okay? So now, there's a concept that Mesillas Yesharim explains called Mixas Nefesh Kekulo, that instead of throwing the book at him totally, we'll just stub his toe, or we'll give him some difficult situation that week, he'll fall, Rachman Otzlan Lo Aleinu, and then that will count as being a pidyon for what he did wrong. Does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just says, forget about it? Absolutely not. It's a new type of judgment that's livable. Something happened when you did something wrong, but it's livable. And then there's another concept he brings called Bra Mizaka Abba. A father can have a situation where he's not doing so well. But since he raised a child, he brought him into the world, so Hashem made in version 2 of the din, well, the kid does something right, it works in your favor too. So even though you're not doing so well, but if your kid's doing well, it works for you. That's also cause and effect. Even though you might not have been 100% the best parent, but at the end of the day, you did bring this kid into the world, and you brought him however much you did, and you get credit for whatever he does. So Hashem changed the situation now to a more livable situation of judgment. Hashem also allowed to buy time. There's something called Erech HaPayim, to buy time for our viewers. But these are all still in the world of judgment. All of this is still cause and effect. All of this is still within judgment. However, there's something higher than all this. This is like stage one. Okay, stage one is the world of Mishpat, and Mishpat is Rachman. That's what it is. The Svarim HaKadoshim write, Mishpat, which is the way Hashem judges us today, is with an understanding of a livable reality that we can deal with. There's something much higher which doesn't even care what we do. There's a way Hashem deals with us that's so high up there that Hashem doesn't look at what we do. That's called the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachman. The Yud Gimel Midos of Rachman don't look at us in a regular way. They look at us from a very high, high place where Hashem is dealing with things in a non-normal way. What does it mean? Everything I'm telling you, by the way, right now, I was makabel from Rebbeim. In this shmuz, kimat, I would say nothing is my own. It's too dangerous of a topic to get creative. What does it mean that Hashem is davening for something? Right? It says here that Hashem says the Yud Gimel Midos. What it means is a very simple thing. That Hashem, as we know Him, is usually dealing with us in judgment. So Hashem is calling on a greater hanhaga of His own that's higher up. When Hashem kiviyachol, with a capital kiviyachol, puts on a talis and says the Yud Gimel Midos, teaches Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem is saying, normally, you see me down here. You see me dealing with you in din, in judgment. But I can call sometimes on other things, other midos of mine, from a higher place, and over there, Klal Yisrael can do no wrong. When those midos are brought down, Klal Yisrael can do no wrong. And it's a bris that we have with Hashem, out of His love for us, that Hashem taught us the secret of how to take a ship, cross over and above the whole world of Mishpat, and go right to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us in a way that we can't possibly imagine. Over there, everything is free. Up there, everything is free. The Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shamayim, and he saw all these different chambers, an oitzer for people who are Megadol Yisayimim, people who take care of Almanas. And one after another, he went to all of them. Then he went to the biggest one. He says, "What? What's this one?" It was the biggest one, the Tanchuma says. He says, "This is the one where I give out things for free." Whoa! What does that mean? The biggest one is where you give out for free? And the answer is yes. That the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close that the most real place that we have is where Hashem just says, "I love you, you're a Yid, you're a Ben Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we're going to get through this. You are guaranteed to get through this." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving for free over there. The Rush in Rosh Hashanah over here says that the Yud Gimel Midos are called Vitur. Vitur means when Hashem says, "It's okay, don't worry about it." That's what the word Vitur means. Wait, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, Kola Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron, whoever says that Hashem says, "It's okay, don't worry about it, it's on me," Yivatru Eschayov, he should lose his life for saying such a thing. And here we have that the Rush tells us that the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachmim are Vitur. They are of that Midah of saying, "It's okay, it's going to be alright. We'll let it slide," so to speak. So Kibalnu Mirabosenu, that the difference is the following. Hashem deals with us normally, not as a Vatron. A Vatron is who Hashem is and how He runs the world. He runs the world with Midas HaDin. However, Hashem will. He gave us a secret that will be times where we can be ma'orer a certain midah of Vitor, where Hashem, because we're saying the Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachamim, we can circumvent the whole din and we can get a tremendous amount of bracha of Vitor. So even though that's not the way we're allowed to call Hashem a Vatron, you're not allowed to call Him that, but it does not mean that Hashem did not give us tools at times to be ma'orer this tremendous amount of rachmim, where things are being given to us for free. Now here we come to the next point, which is that what are the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachman? It's hard to count them. And this is going to be a very difficult part to explain. We're going to try to go through a little bit. The Mefarshim are differing in many, many ways. We're going to go with the opinion of the Zohar HaKadosh, that of the Groz Zatzal, the Arizal, and all the Mekubalim seem to be going this way. Rabbeinu Tam does not hold this way in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Zayin. That Hashem, Hashem, the first two words, are not part of the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachman. They are not. And if you read the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, right after the Gemara that I quoted to you before, the Gemara says, what does it mean, Hashem, Hashem? Anihu kodem sheyechta adam, vanihu la'achar sheyechta adam. I am Hashem before you did a chait, and I am Hashem after you did a chait. Now, what does this mean? This is the intro. This is the intro to Yud Gimel Midos. Because there's a major problem with the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachmim, which is that if I ruined Hashem's world, so it's not okay, right? If you take your parents' car and you go 60 miles an hour into brick wall and go, sorry, it doesn't work like that. It's broken. Something's broken over there. So if things are breaking down here, if every Avera, the Nefesh HaChaim says, destroys things one after another in the spiritual worlds, so then how can it be that I could just go up there? The answer is that you didn't look deep enough. Hashem created a world with his regular anhaga and his regular concept of kavod shemayim. And over there, oh boy, can you mess things up. You can even ruin things, kiviyachol, for the Shekhinah itself. As we know, the Shekhinah is in galus. That's the way Hashem wants it. However, we have to realize that really we can't do anything to Hashem. That really, higher up, there's nothing dented. The car is not even dented. Nothing's dented. Everything's fine. Our relationship with Hashem in the highest place is Ani Hashem Koyda Machet. I was Hashem before. And look, afterwards, I'm the same Hashem. Nothing happened. See? You didn't do anything. Of course we did something down here. But there's a place that Hashem restored, kept preserved, that we can't ruin anything. And over there, when we come to Him, even as dirty as we are, Hashem looks at us in that high place as if we didn't do anything. Ani Hashem kodem hachet, I'm Hashem before the chet. And look, after the chet, I'm still the same Hashem. Meaning you can't do anything to me. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon explains that this is the pshat, this Hashem Hashem is the pshat. Ani Hashem, lo shinisi. I'm Hashem, I don't change. You can't do anything to me. And this is not the way we live our lives, chas v'shalom. Because in our lives, there are consequences, there are repercussions, and there is damage that we do to kavod shamayim. If someone does a chilul Hashem down here, oh boy, do they ruin the world. However, Hashem gave us a way to go somewhere where we can be looked at in a higher way. In a place where we really didn't do anything. And over there, we can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the first thing we do is we say, Hashem, Hashem. That's how we enter the Yud Gimel Midas, according to the Zayir Gran Ariza. We say, Hashem, I'm entering a world where I didn't do anything. Where you can see me for who I am. And then we start the Yud Gimel Midas. So let's try to go through a few of them. Again, we're just touching the surface, but it'll help us. It'll help us, our Kavana a little bit, even if we just scratch the surface. The first of the Yud Gimel Midos is kale. Kale. Now kale, the word kale, is a complicated word. First of all, Rashi on the spot in Shmois Lamed Daled says the word kale is rachmim, like we have in Ayelet HaShachar when Esther, it says, it's a kapitel in Tehillim, when Esther was crying, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Zavtani, Hashem, the Baal Rachamim, how could you abandon me? Kale is a Lashon Chesed. However, we find in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Eilei Ha'aretz, kale is power, is gvura, is power. So how do you reconcile these two things? On the one hand, the kale is Chesed, and the other hand, it's power. And the answer is that it's powerful Chesed. If you've ever been to Niagara Falls, right? Water, Shefa, right? Amazing amount of power. It's Chesed, it's Mayim. But it's coming in a tremendous energy. Kale is being ma'orer, a chesed with power. A power that we can't even possibly imagine. A chesed of Hashem, a showering of us that knows no limits. That's kale. And when a person says the word kale, he's ma'orer up there, a tremendous chesed on himself of power. Unending, unbridled, shefa from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the first Mida, that's Nisayra. Then, there's something called Rachum. Rachum, the word in Aramaic for love is Rechima. If you've ever seen in your Siddur, sometimes before like mitzvah, it says B'dechilu v'rechimu, with trepidation and love. Rechimu means love. Rachum also means mercy. But there's something unique about the word Rachum, which is the word Chesed, you can be a Baal Chesed without somebody. right? Avram Avinu walked out in the beginning of the day, right? He stood outside the Pesach HaOhel, his tent, and he was looking to help people before people were there even in the day. You can start your day as a Baal Chesed. You can decide, what gemach should I open today? Without seeing anybody. Rachamim works the opposite way. Rachamim is where you had nothing in mind, but you pass by someone and you see their shoes are tattered. Oy. And you give them 15 shekel. You give them 20 shekel. Where did it come from? It came from seeing someone and having a relationship with them. Rachamim and love and mercy, all come from two parties. Now, in reality, it shouldn't make sense that Hashem should have that relationship with us. Rav Shimshon Pinkus Zatzal gives an amazing mashal. He says, imagine Erev Rosh Hashanah. You have Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, okay? Kodesh Kedashim. And he's there with all of his thoughts of Erev Rosh Hashanah. And he sees a guy who's looking at his tirach. This is his mashal. He's looking at his tirach and he's all distraught. And Rabbi Yisrael says, what's wrong? He says, I don't know what tie to wear for Rosh Hashanah. Right? What do you think Rabbi Yisrael is going to do? So he says, you know, imagine Rabbi Yisrael sits there, and with him, he looks for that tie. Can you imagine? Doesn't slap him across the face. He says, where's that tie? Let's go look for that tie. No, this one clashes. No, this one, no, it's got a little stain over there. Not going to look good when you walk in there, especially during the Sana Toika if you want to have a nice tie. Right? Can you imagine? And says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Hashem does this with us. Hashem, when we say Rachum, is he understands where we are. He understands how pathetic we are. He's with us down here, with us. Chesed, the original meaning of Kale, is Hashem is just giving us love and chesed. But here he's relating to where we are. He understands where we are in our lives. A lot of times, I find from year to year, if I would look at last year, hopefully it changes. But like it's embarrassing where we are sometimes in our lives. Hashem's with us over there, and he gets us. And when you say the word rachum, you're being ma'orer that Hashem could understand where you are, what you're going through, what challenges you're facing. Hashem will actually feel bad for you instead of saying, you believe this guy? Right? A lot of times we shake our heads from our chaverim, from our kids' sisters or things. No, imagine where we're being taken so seriously for what we feel. That's rachum. Then there's chanun. Chanun is from Lashon chinam. Chanina, which is free, right? That's what we mentioned before, that the Yud Gimel Midas are being given away for free. The biggest Otzer in Shemayim is the Matnas Chinam, is the place where Hashem gives things for free, because there's something deeper in our relationship. Hashem gave us the ability to relate to Him outside of Chet. And when we say the word Chanun, we're being Me'orer all of the things to come, not because we deserve it, because of Vitur, because we're Klal Yisrael, because Hashem gave us this Yud Gimel Midas to say, that's how it works. Then we have here Erech Apayim. It's split also Erech and Apayim as two separate Midas, or Erech Apayim. Again, these are major Machlokes Rishonim. However, Erech is the idea of time, right? Buying time. Patience with us, right? When a person says Erech, he's buying time. Like we said from the Tamer Devorah, really, we don't deserve time. It's simply the Ruchnius world, the physical world and what we would call the metaphysical or spiritual world are exactly the same. In theory, they should be, right? Just like here, if somebody would just say, hey, I wonder what happens if I jump out this window, it won't be a good idea, right? So too, and you'll see a direct result right now. You'll see direct results. So too, in Ruchnius, it really should be that there's a direct result now. There really should be. In fact, this answers a major question. A lot of the Mefarshim are bothered that if people are written in the book of Rishayim on Rosh Hashanah, so how come they're not Mace Miyad, which is the Lashon of the Rambam? It's Mashma in the Gemara also, that they should die right away. The answer is, the Mefarshim explain, is because no, the Hashem also gives you Erech HaPayim. At the same time, Hashem can give you time that even if you are what's called a Bar Katala, somebody who's on death row, Hashem will still, because of these Yod Gimel Midas of Rachamim, Hashem can give you time that you could somehow get to yourself and figure out what's wrong and get it together. And that's amazing for us, to have time, right? A lot of times it's an issue of time. I learned this from my Mashkiach, Rav Naftali Kaplan. One time, a while after I knew him, I don't know how long, it was definitely over a year, I think. a year, maybe even two. I told him something that I felt was wrong with me. You know, that's what you do to mashgichim. You like tell them what's wrong with you. So he told me, I knew that about you when I first met you. So I was like shocked. Whoa, so why don't you tell me? He wanted me to come to it on my own. He understood that there's something healthy about a natural process. I was once by someone else, no holds barred. They just said everything that was on my mind. I couldn't learn under such a person. And I appreciated the difference, the patience, the understanding. He'll grow out of this also. There's Erech HaPaim is an understanding that life is a process. And even though, yeah, we jumped out the window, but you know what? Then all of a sudden Hashem gives us a jetpack and brings us back up because he didn't realize what he was doing. He didn't realize how dangerous it was. Let's wait till he knows how dangerous it is to jump out a window, and then we'll see what to do. Let's see if he figures it out. To have that patience. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus says the word apayim means ein sof, no gvul. That it's another midah that Hashem has unending patience. Because there's a difference between someone who has patience and someone who has unending patience. When someone has patience, so then you say they have patience, but are they defined by their patience? No, because they'll run out of that. Anything you run out of is not really you, because it's just a shaila of how much you have of it. But Hashem has endless patience. Apayim is ein sof. It goes on and on. And that's so reassuring to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can deal with you with endless patience. No person has endless patience. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has endless patience with us. Now we have Rav Chesed. Rav Chesed, Rashi says, Allah Torah, is even someone who doesn't have schuyas, Hashem works to tip the scales. Again, because you're saying the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmim, you're being ma'orer. The Ramban says that Hashem is overpowering the Midah of Chesed. Hashem deals with us in two ways, Din and Chesed. Hashem overpowering the Midah of Chesed. When we open the gates for the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem takes the Midah of Chesed and he overpowers his Midas of Din. That's what we're doing. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus adds, all of what Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, Bepashtus is in the Mekubalim. No, he's not quoting sources. Rav Shimshon Pinkus adds that Rav Chesed means that there's enough for everybody. He says every time in this world when you go somewhere, right, there's always that last guy, right, or there's the guy who's not getting picked in a game, or whatever it is, that's just simply a fact of life. There's only so much to go around. Rav Chesed means not only is Hashem doing this, but there's no running out of Shefa, of Bracha, and Hatzlacha for everybody. Everyone can access these Gimel Midos, and everyone can get full and total attention from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and endless Matanas. When you know that, so then you understand that, yeah, I have my own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu where He has everything that I could ever want and more and more and more and more. And when I recognize that by saying it verbally, it's Ma'orer, that Nakuda for me. Now here's a hard one. This is a very hard one. The word MS. MS is always hardcore. Truth. Right? How could that be one of the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachman? So the beautiful thing I saw in a Kadmon, a sefer called Shari Oira, he says the following. He says, no, if you want to get really truthful about what people do in life, then they'll end up doing a lot more than you thought. For example, let's say somehow you said a good joke to somebody. You put them in a good mood. You saw they were down. And somehow, that day, they decided that they're going to stay in yeshiva. Right? So now, fine. So now imagine that guy, you know, he becomes a big Rosh Yeshiva. Yeah? And you come over to him and go, you know, I want to sit in Mizrach with you. Why? I told you a joke on that day. And you felt great. And you stayed in yeshiva and you became a Rosh Yeshiva. I want your chair. Forget you. You're out. So Lemaisa, he's crazy, but he's also right. That's the amazing thing. He's crazy, but he's also right. There's a way that Hashem can get so truthful about our lives that we can get credit for the most amazing things. Things that we barely did. But because it's truth, if we can find a cause and effect that works in our favor, the Lashon of the Shari Oira is afilu sicha kala, even a conversation that you don't even remember, you know, inconsequential in your life, the Midah of MS will find ways in your life that you did things. If you walked around with a smile, you looked happy in the Beis Medrash and someone looked in admiration, somehow that affected them. The MS, the Midah of MS in this context will bring you tremendous bracha, will bring you tremendous rachamei shamayim. Rashi basically says that a person is guaranteed the toiv that they deserve, but this is the extent of what Rashi means. This is how far. When Rashi Alatera says that MS means that good people get good things, it means good people that you didn't even see how good they were. You need to take a microscope and see how good they are. Next mida is Noitzer Chesed La'alafim. Now here we have a major machlokas on what this is. So now in Rashi Alatera, Noitzer Chesed La'alafim is not going on Hashem's Chesed, because we covered that already in the mida of Kael, right? And Rav Chesed. We covered Hashem's Chesed. However, Noitzer Chesed is that you generated Chesed for yourself. You did something. When you did good actions in your life, so Hashem sees to it that Noitzer Chesed La'alafim, that your good deeds, the Chesed that you did, will actually go from generation to generation, 2,000 generations. Noitzer Chesed La'alafim. It will continue. Is that really fair? No. But that's beautiful. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that histoklos, wants that whatever you did right should go generation after generation. A lot of times we don't know why good things happen to us. You know what? Probably a lot of the answers is chus avos. We had one Bubby who did tremendous tefillas. We had one Zeta who did a maaser tzedakah b'tznias. Who knows? Who learned ba'amelus all of his life b'tznei aleches. And somehow that's affecting our lives. That midah called Noitzer Chesed La'alafim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing what we do to have a ripple effect. Be more effective than our own lives. In regular din, it should just stay by us, because we're the people that did it. But in the world of Yud Gimel Midas, when we connect with this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that whatever we do should affect people that have nothing to do with what we did. Because in some way they do have to do with us. Because they are the people that we have sent a chain out. We have sent a certain chain reaction into the world, having children and them having children and them having children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that they should be able to also have that rachamim. So it could be that when you're saying this, you're not just davening for your own Noitzer Chesed La'alafim. You're asking to get your Zetas. They told me that I'm an anical from this Rav. I want to start reaping the benefits from that. They told me that my great-great-great-grandmother was a Grace of Tzedekes. Bring it on. That's Noitzer Chesed La'alafim according to Rashi. According to the Mekubalim, it's not. It's still going on Hashem, which is the following. Noitzer Chesed, what time were we? Noitzer Chesed is still going on Hashem. However, we mentioned before that the Chesed of Hashem can sometimes be like the Niagara Falls, right? Imagine if you're stuck under the Niagara Falls. You're in trouble, right? And the truth is, it's not just a joke. This is, if we would get, right, varikos and bracha, ad bali die. Sometimes they say, die, enough. It's not enough, it's too much for us, right? Imagine being in a shir of the biggest Eloi in the Velt, and you're stuck there with him. You have no idea what this holy tzaddik is saying. You're stuck there for years, it's Gehenna. Because it's overload. It's overload. No one can do that. You need somebody who can speak to you, who can even do favors that are good for you, right? Sometimes parents throw on things to their children and they destroy their children from too much chesed because it's not calculated enough. It's not exactly cut and tailored for the boy. And since he just wants to be a good parent, so he recklessly just sends out chesed bil tigvul. The word noitzer here comes from the word noitzer and tsinor, which is pipeline, are directly connected. Noitzer is to create a pipeline, a controlled area of chesed that Hashem can give you that you could absorb, you could chew on. Not to throw at you a 10-foot challah, boom, right? Imagine that. But a little roll. Here's a roll. When you're finished, you'll get another roll. That's Noitzer Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of creating what's called a kli, a vessel for all of this beautiful bracha. And without that, there would be no bracha in all this. It would be overwhelming for us. We wouldn't get anything from it. Now we have Noisei Avoin Upesha V'chata'ah. Hashem carries Averis. Now this is similar to the fact that Hashem gives us time, but we don't know exactly what Hashem does over here. Here the Tomer Devorah says something quite scary. He says that every time that that a person does an Avera, there's a little monster that's created, a little Mashkes. He's actually an incarnate of your Avera. He exists. And his whole job is to get you. is to destroy your life, to destroy you, to take away your life, actually. Now, this guy, if he's left alone, he can just grab you and attack. But what Hashem does is he made a soup kitchen in Shemayim, where he feeds all of these troublemaker guys that we create with our Averis, and they're just eating their soup over, you know, they're happy as could be. They wanted to get it from us, but Hashem gives them. And the Tomer Demora talks about the amazing chesed that Hashem's willing to have these disgusting little guys in his palace, in Shmei Shemayim, all because he wants us to figure out how to do tshuva. Because there are two ways these guys can have menucha. Either if they kill the guy who made them, or if somebody does tshuva, like zaps them out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually carries them. He carries these mashchisim. He's noisei all of them, the avayin, the zadon, and the chata, the pesha and the chata. And a person then has the time to figure things out. But it's a tremendous chesed that Hashem shouldn't say, what do I need this for? What do I need this in my palace for? He's the one. He baked his cake. Let him eat it. Let him eat it. That's what Din says. But over here in this greater relationship, Hashem is willing to take on these mashchisim and give us menucha. Now, Rav Shimshon Pinkus says something fascinating over here. He says, which is the hardest one to carry? Well, let's go over what they are. We have an avoin, which is something that's done b'mezid, a pesha that's done in rebellion, in total rebellion, and a chata. A chata is a shkaga, something that's done by mistake. So I would say that the worst thing is something where you're morid against Hashem, where you're waging war. That's what I would think is the worst. However, he says something fascinating. He says the hardest thing for Hashem to carry, kibiyachal, is what we do b'shogeg, what we do by accident. Why? Because when we do something terrible, let's say someone's a serial killer, and they just, you know, they're walking around with M16, la-di-da, every day killing another person, but someday they might get it straight. And they're like, it's terrible to kill people. And then they'll eventually do that, and all those mashchisim that were created from them being a serial killer will get zapped in Shemayim. So there's hope that this soup kitchen will be able to close down, right? Somebody will get it, finally, at some point, right? And the same thing with something that's done intentionally, because the guy knows he's doing something wrong. He knows he's doing something wrong. But then there are things in our lives, and boy, do we have these, right? I still have them, maybe you have them as well, where we are in the area, we're clueless. Like the guy, like he just doesn't get it. You know, there's certain people, they don't know how to talk to other people. I don't know if you've ever seen this. They're just like, I can't believe he just said that. Like, and the guy's like fine with this. He can go until he's 90 like that. Like, he doesn't get it. He's doing onas dvarim, lashon hara, maitzi shemra, and he just doesn't get it. You can talk to him, and every time he goes to shmuz about maitzi shemra, and lashon hara, he's inspired and he loves it. It just has nothing to do with him because he doesn't do that because he's missing it. It doesn't even occur to him. Now that type of person, so then Hashem's more likely to say, wait, with that type of area in your life that you're clueless, I'm not keeping these by me. Attack. Shoot to kill. Send all the mashchisim down this guy because he just doesn't get it. But even there, Hashem's willing to be patient that there'll be this life-changing experience in our life. You know, something crazy will happen to us that will actually let us figure out what we did wrong and get us to where we need to go. That's noisei avon upesha v'chata. Now we have nakei. Nakei is beautiful. Nakei is the phenomena of a finished product. Clean. Clean. Right? We think that clean is just a result. It's a phenomena in itself, right? When a factory creates something, there's a separate chiddush in it making it to the end and it being the thing that it created. Ta-da! It's here. Right? Nakei is I am clean. That all of this process took a guy who's totally filthy, and with all this incredible shefa of Hashem, which is dangerous, serious material here. This is not material in the physical sense, but this is serious ruchnius going on, that it could take little old me, not knock me over, not kill me, not send my neshama flying into Gan Eden, keep me here in Olam Hazeh, make it through Yom Kippur safely, and by the end of Yom Kippur, be totally clean. That's the midah of nakeh. Somehow Hashem exactly measures things perfectly so that we, and deals with us the way we are, to create that reality of cleanliness, of being nakeh. I've heard from many, from a couple tzaddikim, even not such tzaddikim, even regular people, amazing phenomena of ruchnias that have happened to them right after Yom Kippur, certain hergeshim that were otherworldly from being clean. There's a tremendous cleanliness that comes after Yom Kippur, even to the most simple of people. And that's a reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. That's called Nakei. These are the Yud Gimel Midas. And Yud Gimel is the number Yud Gimel. It's not a coincidence. Yud Gimel is Gematria Echad, which is all the Averas in our lives create fragmentation. Yud Gimel is a way of bringing us back to being a whole person again, of putting us back together again. That's the koyach of Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel's always that way. Yud Gimel Midas Shatar and Nidreshes Bahem is to see the synthesis of the Torah all together. It's Gematria Echad. The Maharal in Nesiv Avoida says that the Yud Beis Shvatim with Yaakov Avinu is 13, is Echad, because we're the people who can show the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And when we're all getting along together, right, that even creates more unity. He says that Aleph is Yaakov, Ches are all the children of Leah and Rachel, and Dalet are the children of Bilhah and Zilpah. Echad. And that's all part of this. It actually is directly related to the Yud Gimel Midas Shel Rachman. I can't discuss that now. I'm not even capable of discussing how. But these all are the same sugya. The Yud Gimel Midas of the Torah addresses them, the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachman, and Yaakov Avinu, and the Yud Beis Shvatim are all one sugya. We should be zeicha to have a tremendous hisoris, a tremendous ability to tap in. To tap in, not to just throw them out shalobadas, but imagine what we can do if we have a little bit of Havana, we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will create a tremendous love for Hashem. When we see what He's doing for us, that He cares about us way beyond the consequences of what we do, He wants us to succeed. And this is how Mashiach is guaranteed to come. The Ramchal says that this Hanhaga of Yud Gimel Midas is the reason we know Mashiach is going to come. If this Midah wasn't around, we could always say we could mess up badly enough that we won't get Mashiach. But since Hashem loves us in a way that's above our actions, we will always get there in the end. And we should be zeicha, this should be the year for Mashiach Tzidkenu to see behavior of Yameinu, Binyan, Habayis with Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen.